Hello and welcome to the Mal and Johnny Show. I know I look ridiculous, but Johnny, the sun is shining. The sun is shining. You know, the thing is, people don't understand, Johnny. And I have to tell you, You don't understand, Johnny. When the sun comes
out. I understand.
Look at me. I always wanted to be a redhead, and now I am. No, that's just from today. It's just like shining, isn't it?
Actually, you've got to be careful, not being funny.
No.
You can get the old skin cancer on the nut.
You can. It's like, I've got a little bit of skin damage, Johnny, if I'm honest. So I've got to be careful.
You know, I got plenty of thatch, so I'm okay,
yeah,
I think.
But yeah.
It's very strong, the sun.
Yeah, and do you know what? So I'm a little bit late today because I went to pick up. Let me put the outfit back on again. I went to pick my granddaughter from school, and I turned up like this, and she said, "There he is." And they said, "What is that? Your uncle?" Oh, Johnny! I tell you what. Is that your uncle? Yeah, I'm not a grandfather. I'm much more of an uncle.
An uncle.
Hold on, let me put it back on. I can't see a thing. Right, there we are. Right, it's ridiculous. It's all ridiculous. I know it's ridiculous, but there you go. You got to be prepared for the sun.
So have you been?
Yeah. It's been nice, isn't it? Have you been out?
What I did today, I did a bit more painting. I nearly finished the house.
Lovely.
So I watched
Johnny Fingers.
It's everywhere. Yeah, it's everywhere. I went out because the sun was shining and all that. And I called down to Emily's house because she doesn't get much exercise. And she should.
Yes.
Because obviously with Parkinson's, they've got to keep moving.
Moving.
So I make her go. She doesn't want to do it, but I make her do it. So come on, we go for a walk around the block. So just walked down to the park, which is nice, and it was nice weather. And I came back to talk to you.
Fantastic. Lovely. A bit on the chilly side. Was it chilly for you?
Well, no, not really. Oh. I mean, it's chilly, but it's not. There's not a wind about at the moment. So I don't know. It's like on the beach. You've probably got a bit of a wind.
It was. I had a bit of wind this morning. Yeah. Because I'm trying to do, Johnny, is I'm trying to, you know, we talked about this losing weight thing. I'm trying to do this 16-8 diet where you eat in the 8-hour window, then 16 hours.
That's right. Yeah. Then you leave it all night and then don't eat too early in the morning.
So trying to get out in the morning, walk along the bay, you know, and then go back and buy a croissant. It seems to be working on the whole, Johnny. It seems to be working on the whole.
Are you losing?
Yeah, I am actually. The trend is down, Johnny. The trend is down. That's what I'm saying.
How much do you want to lose, actually?
Well, I think I've lost about half a stone.
Well, that's good.
In about a month, really. So,
yeah.
I mean, the first half a stone is easy, isn't it? Because it's everywhere. The next half a stone, I think, is going to be a little bit more. Another half a stone, Johnny, and I would be.
And you'll be all right.
I'd be pleased.
I'm lucky. I fluctuate a couple of pounds here and there. That's it.
That's amazing.
I'm always about Lemstone 7, Lemstone 8, 9 is the highest to go. Come back down again the next day.
That's brilliant.
You know.
Yeah. But as I say,
hyperactive.
Yeah.
Mind you, I'm looking at hyperactive. Well, as well.
I'm running around. But, the whole thing about this. You know, this diet thing, but you do that naturally, don't you? Eat early in the evening and don't have, you know, breakfast.
Yeah, we went out for curry last night,
right?
But we went out at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were back home by half past 7. We'd eaten.
All done.
And that's it until breakfast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I had my breakfast about 10. I had a couple of shredded wheats and that was it.
Fantastic.
I just had a biscuit and I'm naughty and a cup of tea.
Right.
Because I've been painting, I've been, you know, I've got my Royal Albert.
Oh, it's very nice, very nice, very posh, very posh, Johnny. We talked about my gig last week and then we came up to doing Carnegie Emery. Did you watch Carnegie Emery?
I did.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lovely venue, isn't it?
Oh, it's wonderful. I'm not wanting to plug myself, you know that. But that's where I'm doing my gig in October.
Are you going to fill it?
I don't know. I don't know.
You put Tom Jones on the bill, you fill it.
Yeah. A Tom Jones, not the Tom Jones.
Going back to the competition, you know, good luck to all of them. But I mean, I think it was between our friend and the one that won it, in my mind. They were the only two that stood out to me.
Yeah.
I must be honest.
Yes.
And I think the girl who won it, I think a performance tipped it. I think that's what it was.
Yeah. And also there was a story. So if anybody didn't watch it, she'd written a song about her grandfather, hadn't she?
That's right.
And
her grandmother was in the audience and it was all very poignant.
Yeah.
She was a nice looking girl too. From Swansea?
I got her number, but I didn't notice. No, I think she's a teacher from West Wales somewhere. I think so. But she was
now who was the lady with Steve?
She's 17 years old. She's only...
not her. The woman that wrote the song
Kirsty. Kirsty's got a great background. Kirsty is a backing vocalist.
Yeah.
And she's worked with, I mean, literally everybody. You know, she's regular with Shaking Stevens, one of the backing vocals. Because she was with Elio Pace and our friend Elio, who did Radio 2 on the Terry Wogan show. I mean, they'd guests galore on that. So she's done backing vocals for everybody. But she's great. But she does a bit of teaching as well. So that's how she found the singer that sang Steve's song. And she's 17 years old. You know, 17 years old.
Wow, yeah. You know, good, you're 17. Yeah. I mean, at 17, I didn't know what day it was, never mind. I didn't sing a note till I was 16, 17.
Really?
I didn't know I could sing. In fact, I probably can't sing, but I mean, the old man said to me, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm a dancer and I'm a tap dancer. He said, you got to do something else. You just can't be a dancer. You'll be out of business by the time you're 30, because dancers, life's a short one, isn't it?
Yeah.
He said, you're going to have to sing. I said, I can't sing. He said, you haven't tried, he said.
Yeah.
So he made me sing a few songs, and that's how it started.
And as you say, you know, the venue itself, I mean, it is wonderful. I was surprised by how many people who came down sort of from the television side of things, and one, didn't know about it, and two, didn't realise how incredibly impressive it is. You know, it's 2,200 seats or 3,000.
Is it on the seafront on the way in?
Yeah. You can't miss it. If you come along the seafront, past the museum, there's the Crunchy Bridge. Or the Taco Bridge, as they call it. It's a big golden bridge that goes across Swansea.
Oh, Is it near where the swimming pool used to be?
Yeah, right next door to the swimming pool. And it's a wonderful, big, sort of golden building. But they're very clever because they can put images. They can show images on the actual walls. In fact, at the start of Carney Gymry, that wasn't like a television effect. That really was, you know, outside the building with Carney Gymry being, you know, shown through the LED lights. Very clever.
Fantastic. I mean, the way they do all this stuff now and with these drones and that, and they can, you know, project things on buildings. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. And it's, you know, like the drone thing is relatively cheap now. In the old days, you'd have had to get a helicopter to do that shot, you know, to fly over the building and stuff. Well, we've done it in some of my videos. We've had a drone out, and it does look expensive.
Do you know what? Stan Stennett used to do a comic thing. He was a pilot, Stan. Yeah. He could fly.
Mm-hmm.
And he made this video of him. Well, it was a video. In his plane, they took this video,
right?
Of missing cars and doing loop-the-loop, whatever he was doing. And then he used to show it on the screen in the pantomime, and he'd be on a skateboard in front of the screen like he was... It was very funny, but he did it himself with his plane all those years ago.
Well, yeah, there's nothing new. It's just this easier ways of doing it.
Technology, I mean, that's right.
It is, because I've just got all my cine films back. My brother's brought the cine films down, and I've got a special machine now that you can digitize them. So it takes a long time, because it's like it does 2 frames a second. If you can think how many frames are in one of those, you know, those little cine films. But, you know, in the old days, you had to cut it together, and he had cut it, and the old plastic, the old glue has come apart.
Sellotape.
Yes. So that's got, you know, but now you do it all, you know, you can do it all on the iPhone. You do it on your iPhone.
I know, it's
and
amazing.
Then stick it on your computer and edit it all together.
You remember in the old days, recording, if they wanted to edit your tape, they would cut it with a razor blade, and they'd take one beat out of a bar.
Absolutely.
I mean, they were brilliant, those blokes. The ear, you know.
Yeah.
They stick it back together.
Yeah.
But now it's all technology, isn't it? I remember when I first started, we used to do TV from BBC in Cardiff, and they used to say to us, right, now don't go wrong, because if you do, it costs us 60 quid to cut the tape. So you're frightened to go wrong, you know.
But you know, funny, a lot of those old recordings, again, there's nothing new under the sun, Johnny. They used to do a couple of recordings, and then they'd get the best bits together, even like the classical record. And apparently, the Live and Let Die has got, like, you know, the chorus from take 5, first verse from take 3, you know, and they just slice it together. And it's easy to do it now digitally. It's very easy to do it digitally. But in those days, you had the healing razor blade, as we used to call it, the healing razor blade.
And some of those sound guys, only young, they had great ears. They could hear anything, couldn't they?
Yeah.
You know, all that trumpet was out there, you know, they could... And amazing, some of them.
So that's Carney Gymry, so very good. And Steve came second. A very good performance, good song. And it looked amazing, didn't it? It looked $1 million.
It looked fantastic.
We've had some awards. The Brits. Do you watch any of the
Brits? I didn't watch the Brits, but that girl won everything.
She won everything.
What was the name?
Ray.
Beth.
Ray. R-A-Y-E.
She won about 7 Brits.
Yeah.
But she is good, you know. But And we got the Oscars coming up on the weekend.
Is this weekend? Is it?
Whoa. And it's live on ITV, I think.
Oh my god!
10:15.
gosh, guys. I mean,
you know, I saw a film.
Yeah.
It's called Killing of the Summer Moon or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Or Flower Moon.
Yeah.
And this woman who plays the main female role, she's an Indian. Well,
Native American.
Yeah, Native American. Mm. And I forget which tribe she's from. She is brilliant. You can't stop looking at this woman.
Yeah.
She's not doing much. She's thinking.
Yeah.
And she wasn't nominated. I don't get it. De Niro's nominated.
Yeah.
As a support, but she was phenomenal.
It's weird, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't understand things.
Yeah, I think that's probably been wrong in my career. I've just never been nominated, Johnny. You know, life's been unfair. I actually haven't been nominated.
I've been nominated.
Yeah, of course you have. You've been nominated. You've got
got prizes.
You got holds of cabinet full of.
No, I got 2 medals. Don't overdo it.
Yeah. I always remember. You know, we've had the Grammys as well, haven't we? But have we had the Grammys yet? Anyway, if we have, whatever we have. I go to Philadelphia once to interview a guy called the Reverend. Oh gosh. Ira Tucker Jr. Ira Tucker Jr.'s name was. He was in the Dixie Hummingbirds. He had a cabinet, and it was a part of Philadelphia that must have been quite nice at one stage, but it wasn't anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd go up the stoop and into the house, and a nice welcome. But look in his cabinet; he had lots of Grammys because they'd won all sort of gospel Grammys all over the years. You know,
they got 4 different blinking charts over them. They got the country charts.
Yeah,
got the ordinary charts, the rock and roll charts. They got all these different charts, haven't they?
Yeah. Spell it out, you know. I'm number 7 in the heritage charts, Johnny. Number 7.
All right, you've got a heritage, boy.
And I'm back off to London now.
What are you going to do up there now in big London?
So it's a place called, now I'll say this carefully, Crazy Cox. C-O-K-S.
Oh, I know, I've heard of that.
Yes,
Crazy Cox,
yeah. QS, that's right.
It's French for chicken, isn't it?
Crazy chickens, yeah. And it's only like 90 seats. And it's a cabaret venue, really, just off Piccadilly Circus. Rhea Jones, who we know and love, she plays there quite regularly, and she'd mentioned me to the people who run it. And after the gig in London, I got a call, and they said, do you fancy coming and doing a show? I mean, it's a late show. It's a 9:10 show. They do 2 shows a night. So I think they had a bit of a gap in this night in April. So, I'm going to go up and do...
Yeah, Bobby Crush does it, I think. He does it. And there's Pizza on the Park as well, he does things.
Yeah, there's a lot of these little venues. Intimate sort of like, so you go there for a meal as well.
Are they paying you?
Depends how many tickets I sell, Johnny. Depends how many tickets I sell. We sold a couple already. We have sold some. We went on sale on Monday. I think we sold 3 on the first day, so that's good.
Gone are the lovely days where you just got contracted. You knew what your fee was. If nobody turned up, you still got paid.
Long
now you've got to do everything.
Got to do it
all.
You've
got to go in. You've got to do your own publicity. In the old day, my old man said, when it first started, they used to bottle the crowd. I said, what's that mean? Well, a bloke goes wrong with a bottle and people were changing it after the show.
What a great idea. Yeah. Rather than bottling the act, when they throw throw bottles at the act. Which has happened to me as well.
Who's going to win the Oscars then?
Wow.
It'll be Oppenheimer, won't
it? Yeah, Killian. He's good, isn't he? Oh, Cillian Murphy.
He's very good. He's got this strange kind of face. It's like the high cheekbones. And somehow he looks 1940s, know what I mean.
Yeah.
But that look.
Yeah, because he was great.
He's Irish, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, but
Irish.
You know, like when he's when he was Thomas Shelby in Peaky Blinders, he was from the Midlands. When he's Oppenheimer, he's American. You know, it's like he's amazing. And then when you see him, he looks a lot. I always think he looks a lot younger in real life. You know, when his hair's down.
And taller, taller on the television.
Yeah, exactly. And he's put a lot of weight on. It does that. TV does that to you. Oh, good. So any plans for anything for the weekend, sir?
Finish off working. I've done the lounge. I've finished the kitchen.
Yeah.
I've got 3 bedrooms to paint and the whole house is finished.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. You can start again then. Check like the fourth bridge.
No, I'm leaving it. 5 years now. I'm not doing any more for 5 years. I've done outside. Yeah. Somebody said, what are you doing it for? I said, because I can, and it saves me thousands.
Exactly. Yeah.
I quite enjoy it, actually. It's quite cathartic, you know.
Yeah. Therapeutic. Yeah. Brilliant, yeah. Man. All right.
I did an audition the other week playing some old farmer with a gun, but I didn't get the part. I said to Holland, I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't look like a farmer.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they go by a look, you see.
Yeah, of course.
He said, I'd have grown a beard for it if I didn't know.
Oh. I know, it's because I've been on the other side of the audition, and I think we talked auditions before, and it's a tough one because you sort of know pretty quickly whether somebody is right for the part, because it's not about where it's not about them, but you want to, you don't want to be judgmental, and you don't want to make somebody feel they have, you know, it's not worth them, they haven't done it, you know, job. So, but I do remember, I think I've told you this before, Michael Bogdanov was very good when we did auditions because he knew what it was like, you know, to go to an audition.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had this girl, and she's very, very young, and she brought her sheet music. And it was one of her first auditions. And I said, would you like to do the song? We'd love to hear you. Yes, play the music. You say potato, and I say potato. You say tomato, and I say tomato. Potato, potato. Honestly, I'm not even making it up. She just...
She didn't get the... She didn't quite get the...
Yeah, exactly. The gist.
Potato, potato.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. No, I remember when we did the auditions for Dorothy, you know, Dorothy Squire. I mean, Ruth Marek played the old Dorothy, but we wanted somebody to play the young Dorothy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we saw loads, you know, and they were good singers and that, but there was something... And this one girl walked in, and as soon as she started, it was like, yeah, you got the part.
That's it.
You could tell straight away she had... She could feel what she was doing, and you could see Dorothy in her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she got a part.
Yeah, exactly. And the others are good for in a different part. It's just when you don't get a part, it's personal, isn't it? It's like
it shouldn't be really, but we always
take
think
it personally.
It is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, man. We'll have a good week,
and you.
Yeah, and I'll see. Well, all the best with the painting. Hold on a second.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Get the glasses on. Go on. Do it properly.
Hey, he's looking at you. He's looking at you, kid.
No, who has a hat like that? I got a feeling I know somebody's got a hat like that. Is it Jerminiquai?
I don't know. I think Popeye Doyle used to wear...
Popeye Doyle,
in the French Connection.
Hey, you know who's Jerminiquai, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was a great big hat, didn't he? He was a big hat.
Yeah. But do you know who his mother is?
No.
There was Karen, hang on, what's her second name? She was an impressionist.
Really?
Karen Kay.
Right? Really?
And she did quite well back in the 70s. Yes. She had her own TV series a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm down in Clacton doing a summer season, and she rings me this one day. She said, do us a favour, John. She said, I'm supposed to do it. I can't. My son is in a theatre school in Colchester. Yeah. Could I go down and talk to the kids about the business and, you know, just give them a bit of a chat?
Yeah.
I said, aye. And it was him.
Wow.
And now he's a huge star.
Well, now's the time to make that call, Johnny. Now's the time. Yeah. Payback, Jerminiquai. Payback,
baby.
All right.
I worked with his mother in a nightclub in Stoke-on-Trent.
Wow.
And it was one of her first gigs as well. Stoke-on-Trent. The Glass Street. Stoke-on-Trent. The casino, that was it. Wow. What a memory.
There we are. It's all in there, Johnny. Write it down. Make sure you write it down.
It's all in there.
All right, yeah. Well, so from Glass Street in Stoke-on-Trent and from the West...
Actually, I changed it. It was Hanley. Stoke-on-Trent.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's where all the theatres were, Hanley, wasn't it? Okay, good. Well, it's goodbye from him, and it's...
And goodbye from you, the hat.
Mal the hat.
Hey,
it's easy. Bye.
Ta-da!